town called Manning. Has anybody ever heard of Manning? Yeah, everybody that's drawn up, drove up to High Level or Hay River, you've drawn through. Okay, so that's where I grew up, in Manning. And I graduated from high school there, went to Bible college, and came back, and I pastored in a little town called Dixonville. So Dixonville is that little town you can't even see when you're driving up to Manning, about half an hour from Manning. Anyway, pastored in Dixonville. Then I became the pastor in Manning, associate youth, and then became the senior pastor in my own hometown for a few years. And then from there, we moved to White Court. And we moved to White Court to plant a church. And that was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed that. We were in White Court for a few years, and then we moved to Grand Prairie. We were part of a congregation there, part of a church building project and different things. And then from Grand Prairie, we moved to St. Albert. We moved to St. Albert about 16 years ago to plant a church, and we were able to do that. And then about 2.5 years ago, because of all the different church plantings, we thought, you know what, we're going to take a break. We're just going to, like, we just got to catch our breath. So we backed away from the church planting, and the St. Albert Alliance Church said, well, why don't you come join us? And so that's what we did. About 2.5 years ago, we came and joined them. Now, throughout all those years, I wasn't part of the Alliance. I was part of a Pentecostal church. And when we came on with the Alliance, I'm actually going through the process right now to re-get all my papers and certificates and all that kind of stuff done. But we've been involved in the ministry, full-time ministry, for about 36 years and have absolutely loved it. We have three children. We raised two of our children are now married, and one lives in Edmonton and one lives in Spruce Grove, and they're both involved in ministry as well. And our daughter still lives with us, works with me, and involved in the church as well. So that's a little bit about myself. But one of the neatest things that happened was not too long ago, and I was over at my neighbor's house, and my neighbor started telling me about the dip tube. And I'd never heard of the dip tube before. I had no idea what the dip tube was. Like, what in the world is a dip tube? Don't mistake dip tube for dipstick. All right, there's a big difference. Does anybody know what a dip tube is? We got a few people that know what a dip tube is, eh? Dip tubes, a dip tube. If you understand a dip tube, it will change your life. But most people have no idea what a dip tube is. And I was over at my neighbor's. I had no clue what a dip tube was. And he was telling me about the dip tube and the story of the dip tube. And I thought, what are you talking about? Never heard of a dip tube. Didn't even think it affected me. I mean, who needs a dip tube, right? Hey, nobody needs a dip tube. And there he was telling me about the dip tube and how the dip tube story changed his life. His whole family, not the same anymore. They now understand the dip tube. So I said, tell me more. And he actually took me over downstairs into the utility room and he showed me the dip tube. Well, by that point, I was hooked. I had to know more about the dip tube. So he took me to the lumber store and showed me the dip tube. Now, I would have never heard about this. I would have had no idea what the dip tube was unless he actually took me and showed me. I mean, I wouldn't have been one of those people that walked down to Home Depot and said, walk in the door and there's the guy standing there and he greets you and he says, hi, can I help you? I would have never walked in there and talked to that gentleman and said, tell me about the dip tube. I would have had no idea unless somebody actually went over and said, have you heard the dip tube story? Do you want to know what a dip tube is? This is a dip tube. And you're about to hear the dip tube story. Now, when I first heard the dip tube story, I didn't think it was that important. I didn't think it was a big issue. I mean, like, what does that have to do with me? I mean, we're fine. We're living well. We're doing good. Our kids, we're happy. My wife, she's beautiful. We have a great marriage. We don't need to know about the dip tube. But I failed to realize, folks, the dip tube affects every person in this room. And if you know what I'm talking about, you just nod. Yep, some of you do. Yep, you know the dip tube story. But you never really know the dip tube story until you have experienced the dip tube. Is that correct? Tragic. You'll never know about the dip tube unless you've had the hardships, the pain, the agony, the disappointments, the regrets of a broken dip tube. Broken. I mean broken right off. And it was that day, in my brokenness, that my neighbor said, "Let me tell you about the dip tube." And I am so thankful today. So the dip tube is a tube that goes into the top of your hot water tank. And the cold water comes in through the top, forces its way down to the bottom of the tank, heats up that cold water that's down there. That cold water becomes warm and then hot, comes to the top of the tank, and when you're in the shower and you turn the water on and you have hot water coming and you got a big smile on your face and it feels so good to have that hot water on your body, and you can thank your dip tube for that. But what happens is, over time, the dip tube begins to dissolve. And if you've ever been in your shower and all of a sudden, where's the hot water? I've only been here for 5 minutes and there's no hot water. Normally I can have a 20-minute shower and there's no hot water. Or if you get up in the morning and you go to have your shower and your wife was ahead of you and you get in thinking everything's fine and there's no hot water. And so you run out of your bathroom and say, "Hun," and she goes, "What?" And you goes, "How long of a shower did you take this morning?" And she said, "It was just short." "Well, that can't be." And then you have a big explosive fight. Blame the dip tube. Because what happens is after a while, the dip tube begins to dissolve right in this area. And so it dissolves, and then this piece breaks off and falls to the side, and the cold water comes into the hot water tank, and it just kind of sits at the top of the tank. And it gets a little bit warm, but not hot. And as soon as somebody turns on the water and the tap and the shower, and all of a sudden this warm water comes out for a little while. And all the hot water is hiding down at the bottom. And you never get a chance to experience that. Because the dip tube is not doing its job. The dip tube is dissolved. The dip tube is broken. And so the cold water comes in, it goes across the top, gets a little bit warm, just enough to fool you. And then it goes out, and you're in trouble. You are now in the shower expecting to have a hot shower, and it ain't going to happen. Well, my neighbor told me about the dip tube. I ran home. I tore my hot water bottle. I pulled the tube out, and sure enough, it was that long. Put a new dip tube in, and the dip tube has changed my family's life. And everybody that comes into our home, and we have people that'll come and stay, and they're all thankful, and we get up in the morning, and we have coffee, and they have a shower, and they come down, and they say, "Thank you for your dip tube." Not really. Not yet, anyway. You see, wouldn't it be cool to have a culture of people, of men and women and children that went around and told the dip tube story so everybody can enjoy the dip tube? And if anybody was in a crisis of lukewarm water, they would have the solution. They would know the dip tube story. The story of Jesus, a lot of people don't know. They have no idea. And it wouldn't be until one of their neighbors comes along and says, "Have you ever heard the story of Jesus?" "Of who?" "Of Jesus." "I don't need Jesus." "Oh, let me tell you the story of Jesus." The other day, a friend of mine contacted me and he said, "Listen, I got a buddy. Would you mind just meeting with him and connecting with him. He's kind of going through a bit of a tough time. And I said, sure, that's fine. I can do that. So we contacted each other, and we met in the park, kind of across the street from where I live. And we're sitting down, and I'm sitting at this picnic table, and he comes over, and I wave him over and introduce myself, and we sit down. We never met each other before. And I said, tell me your story. So he begins to tell me his story, you know, how he grew up, and he got a job, and he worked in the oil field, and all the different things that he did, and he kind of, you know, did well, and back in the 80s, things were booming and making lots of money, bought a nice house, lots of vehicles, lots of toys, lots of stuff, traveled lots. And then over the last few years, his life began to fall apart. Got into things that he shouldn't have, lost his marriage, lost his house, lost his toys, lost his reputation, lost his job. And there he was. And as I talked to him, I said, tell me about where you get your strength from. Like, where do you find your ability to cope? Like, where do you turn to if you're in trouble and you just need to be encouraged and refreshed and inspired? What do you do? He says, well, I'm from BC, and so I love the mountains, and I love the trees and the water and the hills and the green and the flowers. He said, so I look at nature. I go, well, that's really cool. He says, I just kind of look at nature, and I get my sustenance from nature, and I get encouragement from nature. I look at nature. I said, that's really neat. I said, do you ever think about the one who created all of this? He goes, I haven't ever really thought of that. I said, can I tell you my story? And so I began to share my story of how I met the Creator. And he goes, you can do that? I said, yeah. I said, let me tell you about it. And I said, he loves you so much that he created all of this for you to enjoy. And he says, I made it for you because you matter to me, and I care for you, and I love you. And he goes, he really does? I go, yeah, he really does. And I began to share with him how he said, God loved him so much and cared so much about him. But I looked down on the ground, and there were some ants crawling around. I said, but you see those ants? He goes, yeah. I said, if you wanted to relate to those ants, they couldn't relate to you unless you become an ant. And I said, and that's what God did, is he came down and he took on the form of a human being in the person of Jesus so he could relate to us. And I shared with him the gospel story. And as I'm sharing, I notice he's just sobbing and crying out in the middle of a park and people walking around. And then it came to the point, and I felt the Lord say, now. And I said, would you like to begin a relationship with the Creator that created all of this? He said, I can do that? I said, absolutely. And I had a chance right then and there to lead him in a prayer of accepting Jesus Christ into his life and beginning a relationship. He never knew about Jesus. He had no idea. I had no idea of the dip tube until somebody told me. And we had a problem in our home. Our water was only lukewarm. And I knew something wasn't right. Didn't know what it was. But I knew something wasn't right. Folks, you have a story. You have a message to share. The problem is most people don't know. Nobody has not. I didn't know about dip tube. Nobody's going to go to the lumber store and go, can you tell me about the dip tube? I heard something. Nobody's going to come walking into the church building and go, can you tell me about Jesus? That doesn't happen very often. But here's what does happen. When a neighbor walks over to a neighbor and over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea says, can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you what Jesus did in my life? Never heard of that before. Oh, well, let me tell you about that. When you take the time to tell the story of what Jesus has done for you, it can bring change into people's lives. So where does that come from? It comes from a passion of what's going on in your own life. It's when you are excited and thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for you. You just can't wait to tell. Now, I got excited about the dip tube. I honestly did. I actually printed up some brochures and titled it, have you heard the story of the dip tube? I really did this. And I delivered them around our neighborhood. And I had people call me and they said, and it was hilarious. They said, tell me more. When you start sharing what Jesus Christ has done in your life, you're going to have people say to you, tell me more. Now, some of the folks, they didn't care about dip tubes. They didn't want to hear me. They didn't get away from me. And that happens. Because they think it's irrelevant. Would you say that the dip tube is irrelevant? Is anybody in this room would say the dip tube is irrelevant in their life? You may not know about it. But I guarantee every time you crawl into the shower, you're going. And some of you folks are going to go home and your wife is going to look at you and say, hon, how's our dip tube? Some of you might go home today and go, I think we just figured out why the hot water isn't working correctly. When you take and share your story of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, it comes out of a heart of passion. It comes out of a heart of what Jesus Christ has done for me. You see, here's what happens with a dip tube. The cold water comes in. It goes all the way down to the bottom. It's like the Word of God comes into our life, and instead of just coming in and going out, it comes in and goes right through our body, and it affects our whole body, and we get really passionate about it. And God's Word comes in, and what He's done in our life and relationship with Him, and it comes in, and it goes right down into our life, and it takes over our whole being. And then what happens is when somebody turns our crank, out comes passion and desire and energy and hot water. But if your dip tube is broken, God's Word comes in, skims across the top, and goes out as lukewarm. Have you ever felt lukewarm before? You know, your Christianity is kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, not a big deal. Have you ever felt that way? I have. And what I discovered about myself is when I get lukewarm about Jesus, I usually have to check my dip tube and see, where has it been disconnected? Why hasn't God's Word gone down deep into my life and made those changes and get all heated up and fiery and everything else? Why doesn't that happen? And it's usually because something's just coming in and going out, coming in and going out. And it doesn't have an impact. When you get fired up about Jesus, it affects all of those around you in a positive way. I want to encourage you today, two things. Understand the story of Jesus. I mean, you can tell people about dip tubes too, but there's nothing that changes a life like Jesus Christ. Understand the story. Let it be part of your life. And let it go down deep. And when you find yourself getting lukewarm, just check your dip tube and say, am I giving time, whatever your process is, am I giving time for God's Word to go deep into my life? Or am I just kind of let it skimming across the top? I want to share one more story with you and then we'll close. When I became a Christian, I was about 16 years of age, and I was one of those that was involved in drugs and alcohol and stealing and crime and different things like that. Wasn't a good situation. Grew up in a broken home and ended up in a blended family, and it wasn't a good situation. And I came to Christ. I totally surrendered my life to Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I want to get really serious about you. I don't want to be just religious. I want to be really serious about you. And I said, Jesus, I want to know your voice. They've talked about hearing God's voice. Anybody here ever heard that term, hearing God's voice? Yeah, you've heard that? Well, it's true. And at 16, I said, I want to know your voice. And I would practice listening to God's voice. And I would get up in the middle of the night, and I would go downtown, and I'd walk around, and I'd say, Lord, whose door do you want me to knock on? And I would listen. And I would walk around, oh, that door? And I'd listen. And if I felt a yes, then I'd go knock on that door in the middle of the night. And if they answered it, and slammed the door in my face, I'd go, okay, that wasn't God. But there was the times when they'd answer the door and I'd say, I just feel like God wanted me to come here and just talk with you. And there was the times when they said, oh man, I was just hurting. I couldn't sleep. I'm just going through. And I go, oh, okay, well, let's talk about it. I'll go in and sit and talk with them and pray with them. And what was hilarious is most of the time I got it wrong. And I got a reputation for going around knocking on people's doors in the middle of the night, like, this guy's weird. But I so desperately wanted to know God's voice that I didn't know how to do it. But I did know this. If he spoke, I wanted to understand if it was him or not. So I'd knock on a door, and if it worked out good, okay, that was God's voice. Remember that. And then I'd knock on another door, and if it wasn't good, I'd go, okay, that wasn't God. Remember that voice. And I began to practice hearing the voice of God. And I remember one day, I was about 16 years of age. I was walking through the parking lot of what used to be called Northtown Texaco back then. And it was like a little gas station at the top of the hill. And I was walking through the parking lot, and it was kind of like lots of gravel and dirt and dust. And this big old Kenworth comes driving in, like they do. And then he hits the brakes, and the air chamber's released. There's dust everywhere. And I'm walking along, and I felt God say to me, I want you to go talk to the driver and tell him that I love him and that he matters to me. And I'm walking along, and I got like blue jeans and leather jacket and long hair. And I'm like, no way, man, I'm not doing that. So I keep walking, and as I'm walking past the truck, I feel this thing inside. I said, no, you got to tell this man that I love him and he matters to me. And I look over at the truck, and I look up in through the window, and there's this big, burly guy with bald head and hairy arms, and he's got his arms out the window like this, and he just looks mean. And I said, no, that can't be God's voice. So I kept walking, and then I felt this voice just so loudly say to me inside, go tell this man that I love him, that he matters to me. I'm a 16-year-old punk kid. So I said, okay. So I walk over to the truck, and if anybody in here knows anything about Kenworth, when you go to stop and it's going to idle, you have to pull out the throttle, right? And the truck gets louder. And as I'm walking over to the truck, I'm thinking, he's not going to hear me from down here. I got to climb up on the side of his truck. So this 16-year-old punk kid starts climbing up the side of this guy's truck. And as I get up to the side of his truck, and there he is through the glass, and or the window. He's got his window down, and he's looking there. He reaches over, and he pulls the throttle, and the truck gets louder. And I go, oh, no, now he ain't going to hear me. The only way he's going to hear me is if I put my head through the window and I talk to him face to face. And this 16-year-old punk kid with long hair sticks his head through the window and goes, sir, God wanted me to tell you that he loves you and he cares about you and you matter to him. And his head drops and a little tear starts to come. And he said, I know. And then I jumped down and ran away so I wouldn't get punched. And that was the end of it. And I had no idea what that was all about, except I was trying to make sure I was learning to hear the voice of God. Well, through the years, I've told that story to my kids, and we've laughed about it. And, you know, Dad, you're so funny. And one day, my son is walking through Vanguard Bible College. And he hears this girl telling another girl, a couple of the students, the story of her father, who's a pastor in Eastern Canada. And his turning point in his life was truck driving in Northern Alberta, and some punk kid comes along and pokes his head up through the window of his truck and says, God loves you and cares about you, and you matter to him. And he said, at that time in my life, it was a turning point, and I knew God, but I was going to walk away from God and live my life for myself, and I didn't care about what God was doing, and I was right at that defining point in my life where I was going to make some critical decisions. And this kid gets up, and he pokes his head in the window, and he says, Jesus, God loves you and wants you to know that you matter to him. And I dropped my head, and I said, I knew. And at that moment, I made a decision to commit my life totally to Jesus Christ. And from there, I went back home and went to college and became a pastor and an evangelist in his area and led lots of people to Christ and raised his family. And he tells the story to his daughter as they're growing up. And so she's at Vanguard Bible College telling this story of how God brought her there because of her dad, because of this punk kid. And my son's walking along and he hears this story and he goes, wait a minute. He says, I know that story. So he walks over and he says, that was my dad. And that day he comes home and he says, Dad, you'll never believe this. I heard the story. And we sat down, he told us the story as a family. And we just cried. We said, oh, Lord, I had no idea what God was going to do. I thought I was out to lunch. I thought I was going to get my lights punched out. Folks, I want to challenge you with something today. Whenever you're walking around, whenever you're meeting people, whenever you're driving past your neighbor's house, when you're going into the grocery store, when you're sitting in a restaurant having lunch, and you look around and you see the people around you, I want you to know something. They matter to God. They matter to God. And you ask yourself the question, Lord, if they matter to you, would you want to say something to them? Is there a message that you would want to get to them? Is there a story that you would want them to know about? And if that's the case, who would you use? Who would you use? Who would you use if you wanted to say something to them like, did you know that you matter to God? Did you know that God loves you so much? So here's my challenge. Have a dip tube in your life that takes the Word of God and drives it down deep into your life so that when somebody turns your crank, out of it comes passion and love and joy and availability to be used by God. And then would you do this? Would you walk around and whenever you go and whatever you do, would you pray this prayer? Lord, if you want to use me, you can. If you want to use me, you can. Would you be bold enough to do that? Oh, I just want to tell one more story. Can I tell one more story? Do I got time for one more story? I do. So we're church planting in White Court. And when we go to church plant, we always look for a place where nobody knows us and we know nobody. We don't have a job and we have no place to live. Because that requires a lot of faith. So we moved into White Court, didn't know anybody, had no job, no place to live, had no congregation, had no building, had no nothing. Got a job at the oil field. Canadian Frack Master. Anybody heard of Canadian Frack Master? Yeah. I trust you didn't buy shares in it because you would have lost them all. And I remember I was at work one day and I was a parts person in the back end and sitting in my parts office. And everybody knew I was a pastor. Everybody knew I was a preacher. And they would always try and get me. And they would always do things to set me up and make me look like a fool and tease me and ridicule me. And they'd try and get me going and get my crank going. So I was so used to this. And one of the things I would always do is I would always kind of give it back. You know what I mean? Like they would rib me, I'd rib them. And they'd rib me and I'd rib them. And they'd tease me and I'd tease them. And I would just give it back. And that was kind of my coping mechanism. And we had a lot of fun and had great relationships with a lot of people. And this one guy comes to me one day in my office, in my parts room, and he says, if I've had an affair, would God forgive me? And I thought, you're setting me up, man. I'm used to this. So I said, well, if you didn't enjoy it, he would. And the guy goes, well, it wasn't that good. And then he left. And when he left, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, you missed that one, didn't you? And I'm like, you were serious, God. You sent him in here for me to talk to? Boy, did I ever blow that. And I remember it was lunchtime and away we went. I went for lunch and when I was gone for lunch, I said, Lord, I am so sorry. You sent somebody my way and I just blew it. Can you give me another chance? I come home for lunch or come back from lunch. I park in the parking lot, and he pulls up right beside coming back from his lunch. So I walk over to the tailgate of his truck, and I lean up against the side of his truck, and I said, "You were serious, weren't you?" He goes, "Yeah, I was." I said, "Absolutely, God will forgive you. And not only for that, for everything that you've ever done." And over the next 10 or 15 minutes, I had a chance to share the story of Jesus. And right over the tailgate of his truck, he accepted Jesus Christ into his life. He was a $600 a week cocaine addict. And he gave his life to Jesus. And that evening, his wife gave her life to Jesus. And we took those guys, and over the next 2 weeks, we took them down to the river, and we baptized them. And he had all his fellow employees all lined up on the side of the road, and all these frac master trucks parked up on the beach. And these two guys, him and his wife, were down in the water. And I said, "Is there anything you want to say to your friends?" And these were all unchurched people. And he says, "Yes, what I got, you need. Okay, let's do it." So we baptized him in the McLeod River. He comes up out of the water. We walk up onto the beach. Tailgates come down. Barbecues come out. Beer comes out on. Steaks come out. Nazareth on the stereo system, and we just had a great time. And we led him to Christ, and we led some of his friends to Christ. Because it starts with just this: Lord, if you want to use me, you can. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for this incredible family here today. Lord, they matter to you. And you love them so much. And they know that. They know that. But you also love their neighbors. And you love the people that they work with. And you love the people where they shop, where they buy their supplies. And you love the people that they golf alongside and they play ball with and they have fun with. And Lord, you so desperately want those people to know your story. You want those people to know that you love them and they matter to you. So who are you going to use to tell them? God, I'm not asking that we be just flippant about it, but I'm asking that we listen to your voice and that we have that prayer in our hearts. Lord, if you want to use me, you can. Lord, that would be our prayer today as we leave here. I ask a blessing on Pastor Brad and his family as they're out relaxing and enjoying, and when they come back, that they would be encouraged and strengthened and able to lead this church family into this next season. But I pray, Lord, that there will be people that will come to you and join this church family because of the people in here would be bold enough to go out and say, "Father, if you want to use me, you can." Amen. Amen. You guys are so fantastic. I am so excited what God is doing here. Like, I really am. And I've pastored in rural communities, and I know I love that life. I love what God does in every place and what God is doing here. Now, I'm supposed to dismiss you. And you guys know the routine, right? Some of you go out that way, then the next one's okay. God bless you. Have a great week.